mic. Good. Yeah, welcome. So my name is Johannes Kumpukoski, and I work as a partner manager at Paytrail, which is a company specialized in online payments. And I'll go through the stuff that I have been doing and I have done in the past later. But let's get started. Today I'm here to talk about payments online. I'm gonna go firstly through about web shops and multi-vendor platforms to get a bit knowledge to you guys on where our service is in use and how the services that use our service work. So the content of the lecture is up there. What is Paytrail? And then we're gonna go through the common platforms in which our service is in use, so web shop, multi-vendor platforms. Then we're gonna take a look into the trends of online business, and then we're gonna go to the payment section of the lecture. And there we're gonna look the state currently, how payments are done, what kind of payments are done in Finland, how it differs from foreign countries, and then we're gonna look to the trends of payments, where the payment market is going and what's happening there. And then we're gonna look into payment service directive. Doesn't sound really interesting, but actually it's stuff that's gonna ease your use of online payments and web banks and stuff like that. If you have any questions, you can ask during the lecture, and I hope that there's some conversation about the stuff we're going to go through today. What is Paytrail? It's a company specialized in online payments, founded in 2007, formerly known as Finnish Web Payments, so in Finnish Suomen Verkkomaksut. Now we are owned by Nets, a company from Denmark, which is specialized in payments, so card payments and card acquiring and stuff like that. At Paytrail, we have 50 employees. All are located in Jyväskylä. We are Lutakko in Oulu. We have a revenue of 8.6 million in 2016. Which is 3 million more than we had in 2015. So growing business. Last year was good for us too, so some growth, and this year looks already very promising. We have a payment institution permit, same permit that banks are required to have, and we are very trustworthy payment service in Finland, one of the few that have the payment institution permit. So what do I do at Paytrail? So partner manager does cooperation with webshop platforms and different kind of system providers which provide our service to their customers. So they kind of are our resellers, and I do customer management with the partners and different IT houses and stuff like that, get more partners and help them to sell our service. We have about 700 partners at the moment, and I'm the only one doing the partner managing in-house. I was a sales representative for 2 years and 2 years as a sales manager before that. I've been doing this job for 1 year now. I'm a bachelor in business administration, and I'm currently working on my thesis for information technology. So I know what kind of stuff you have gone through in the school. I also have my own company. I build workshops for local micro and small businesses, and one of the biggest projects I had was Ruukin Kyläkauppa, which was a grocery store in Loviisa, which I set up with my friends, and we had it for a few years, and then we sold it to the trainee we had there. It's still going on, so if you go to Loviisa, go and visit there. There's a lot of stuff from local businesses, meats, stuff like that. Yeah. So what do we offer for our customers? We offer a payment service which is like a collective payment service provider model. So with one contract, you get all the payment methods we have integrated to our service. And at the moment, we have Finnish bank payment methods. So if you pay through an online bank to a web shop, if they have our service, it goes through that integration. Then we have card payments, invoice payment methods, partial payment methods. So if you order something, they're going to send the bill afterwards. Then we have mobile pay, petrol account, which is a service where you can store your card information and then pay with your email and password after that. And then also we have a merchant panel for getting the accounting reports and looking up payments if there's something wrong with the payments. And then we also have some additional services. But we're not going to go through of our service that much, because it's not the content of the lecture. We have over 5,000 companies that are using our service in over 10,000 domains, and 90% of our customers are Finnish. The customers that we have in the EU area, which is the area we can operate in, they usually sell to Finland, and that's why they use our service. We have only few customers that are only doing business internationally and not to Finland. We're going to go to the web shop and multi-vendor platforms a bit deeper in this lecture. But for refreshing your mind, why companies have websites, there's a few different reasons. One of them is marketing, so they get keyword searches, people landing on their website, and then for information purposes and content purposes, for educating consumers. Then they may have a landing page kind of set up, so if they do marketing from email, they have a landing page which includes fields that the customer can fill in and get something from the company. Then the web shop and a multi-vendor platform type of websites, and we're going to go deeper into those a bit later. And then one model of online business which is growing rapidly is the application type of online business models. And they are usually mobile applications which help the consumer in certain cases. They have a very easy to use interfaces and good user experience, and they're mainly utility based. There's some hedonic applications for business to consumer, but they're not that common. And then there's also multi-vendor platform models, same type as in the website multi-vendor platform. So let's go into the web shop. Web shops a bit deeper. So mainly web shops sell physical goods, digital goods, or immaterial goods or services. Physical goods can be clothes, electronic, food, houses, etc. So for example, if you go to castelli.fi, you can buy and customize a house and order it from there, which is really cool. You can do almost any kind of web shop if you sell physical goods and sell your stuff online. And you're going to have a lecture later on the web shop platform and stuff like that. And I think it's going to be interesting because almost anything you can sell online. And we have customers from almost every business area except legal things using our service. Then digital goods, music, books, licenses, for example, licenses for using antivirus software, stuff like that, and licenses for sports, for example. And then services, one of the most common thing you buy online is travel services. Then you can have table reservations for restaurants and workout programs, e-learning for language or anything you want to learn. There's a lot of service providers for different kind of immaterial and physical services as well. So here's distribution of e-commerce in Finland. Most of the cash flow goes through travel services, so flights, hotels, services that are included in traveling, that's 4 billion euros per year. Then goods are second with 2.8 billion euros a year, so clothes, physical goods, anything like that. And then services are 1.7 billion euros a year. So total number of euros that go around the online e-commerce is about 8.5 billion per year, which is still a bit small compared to, for example, Sweden. I don't have that statistic here, but there's a lot of money going through Swedish web shops, and they have their consumers there have incorporated the web shop and e-commerce experience to their life more than the Finnish customers. Almost everything that can be sold is sold online. As I said, we have customers from almost every business area. What kind of customers buy online? Most customers are younger, 25 to 44 years old, and they shop online from desktop. 84% of the whole population up to 74 years old. Mobile has become a very important device for e-commerce as well. The share of the mobile online shopping has increased from 2010 up from about 5% up to 40% in 8 years. And that's mainly because of the technology of mobile phones have gotten better. And already 40% of the shoppers up to 74% shop with mobile phones. So in technical aspect of web shop platforms, you could say there's three different kind of implementation possibilities. There's open source platforms, closed source platforms, and customized implementation. Open source platforms are community-based platforms, which is put up with the community. For example, WordPress is a community-based platform for website development, and WooCommerce is a plugin for the WordPress platform. They require hosting from a third party, so or if you have a computer at home that you can use as a server, you can use that if you want. And the plugins are also usually based, done by third parties. You can do your customization by yourself, but usually if you build a web shop with an open source platform, you use plugins. That's easier to do. And then if you have to customize them, you customize the plugin yourself. Most of the project houses that are smaller use usually open source platforms. So digital marketing companies, for example, there's a company called Dude next to Kirkkopuisto, and they build web shops with WooCommerce. So open source platforms are, for example, WooCommerce, Magento, OpenCart, and they are usually free. You don't have to buy a license. You can download the application online and put it up to your server, and the price that you pay usually comes from the third-party services and the hosting and the payment service and the logistics of the web shop. Closed-source platforms are dedicated. There's a dedicated company that maintains the platform, and they're usually delivered as a software as a service model. So you get, you pay monthly fee and you get the service, or there's some companies that offer the service for free and then you pay based on how much you sell online through the service. And the hosting is usually included in the service. And it's usually, if you build the web shop by yourself, it's usually easier to use closed source platform because they have set up wizards and technical support that is dedicated. So you don't need to go to forums and write stuff there that how does this work. You can call them and they help you. For example, Shopify, Migrasflow, and Vilgas are closed source platforms. Vilgas and Migrasflow are Finnish, and Shopify is a Canadian company. Prices go, if you build a web shop there where you sell more than 10 products, they're from 30 euros and up to 500 euros a month. It depends really on the platform and what features you use inside the platform. And if you want to build a customized implementation with a project house to suit your own needs, what you need, they usually start from 20,000, and you can have different levels of service on the upkeeping and updating. What kind of companies use these platforms? Usually closed-source platform users are small companies which sell less products, and they have a lower budget on the web shop. Then open-source platforms are usually medium, up to, for example, two million euros per year and up. If you sell more than that, you usually have a custom platform. Some custom platform providers use kind of open source platforms from IBM or Hybris or Episerver, which they can then customize more than usually the closed source platforms. And then some things you want to avoid when putting up a web shop. If you have a lack of specification when you're putting up the web shop, that's not a good thing. When you're starting up a web shop, you need to know what you want to have in the web shop and what features you really need there, what you should have, and then specificate it to the process house you're going to put it up for development, or then if you're putting it up for yourself, look up on the internet that it's going to have it. Nowadays, data is really a key for e-commerce businesses. So usually the actions that are done is usually by the feedback of the customers, but now many platforms in e-commerce use also data for the actions that you should do to get more sales and more customers to the webshop. And content is really big thing in webshop. If you don't have any content, there's no keywords and people are not going to land into your webshop if they search something, for example, products that you sell online from Google. They're not going to land on the webshop if you don't have enough content. Google indexes the pages, and if you have more relevant content that the customers search, you get up in the search results with the products you sell and keywords that you have. If you have more content there, there's of course a limit that you cannot have unlimited amount of the content, then the Google doesn't like your e-commerce site anymore. There's a limit between some keywords and that much content you should have to get more customers to visit there with the keywords. Marketing is one big element of webshop businesses. Usually it's done by paid marketing through Google or Facebook. Facebook is nowadays a bit more popular because it's cheaper and people spend time there more, and you can do, for example, age limits where your advertisements are shown, and then you can also do remarketing for the customers that have already bought something from your webshop to the same specific population. If you don't have any investments on the marketing, or you have minimal investments on the marketing, there's not going to be people visiting your website. Usually, if there's a company that's building a webshop for the first time and they haven't looked up for the e-commerce business, or they haven't had any trainings concerning e-commerce, they usually think that the layout is the most important thing when building a webshop, and that's not true. User experience is more important than the layout in the webshop, and that's one key issue when doing the specifications. For example, nowadays one step checkout is very popular, and it's one of the best checkout types because there's less pages where the customer can go and abandon the shopping cart. And the user experience should be prioritized more high-end than the layout. Of course, if you have, a product that has a certain feeling, the webshop should look and feel the same as the product, but the user experience is usually the more important thing. Then we come a bit to the stuff that we do. If the webshop doesn't have a preferred payment method for the customer, it's usually a bad thing, and then they will abandon the shopping cart. Or if there's no delivery method for the customer that they prefer, then they are usually gonna abandon the shopping cart. If there's no search engine optimization, so all the products have not been keyworded, meta tagged, that's a bad thing because then your results are not going to come up in Google searches or Yahoo searches. And when you get a customer, it's easier to keep existing customers than to lose or to get a new customer. And that's one of the reasons why remarketing is a very important thing also for the e-commerce. So if you have an existing customer, you should always do remarketing for the that kind of people. Then we're going to go up to multi-vendor platforms. Do you have any questions about the webshop content? Okay, good. So what is a multi-vendor platform? It's a marketplace where usually companies from a certain business field can join in. It has a dedicated company that's keeping it up, and it has pre-specified features that are suitable for the businesses in that certain area. The merchant can join there, and usually they pay monthly fee or only a revenue of the share the revenue of the sales that are done through the marketplace. There's usually a merchant panel for the company that's using the marketplace, but some marketplaces have an API, so an interface, technical interface, which fetches data, for example, from your webshop. So if you have your own webshop, you don't have to put every product into the marketplace. It's always going to be there if you have it on your own webshop, and the marketplace fetches it through an API to the marketplace. So for example, Amazon is one of these kind of marketplaces. Storelai is a new Finnish marketplace where almost any webshop owner can join and sell their products there. And food delivery systems, Wolt, Foodora, and Pizza Online are, for example, marketplaces. And then there's also central reservation systems for reserving hotels or cabins in Lapland or any that kind of reservations. So you get the idea of the marketplace system. Good. What is good in this kind of marketplace? The marketing is usually done by the service provider, so they have marketed their service to the customer. They try to lure in customers to search products inside the marketplace, and then they also do keyword marketing in some cases. Usually you have to pay for that, but you don't have to pay that much as you should, as you would in your own webshop. The system is usually really easy to take in use, so you don't need to have any technical development, and it's also cheap to use. So you only usually pay a bit of monthly fee and then some share of the revenue. There was a company or a website called MSO, Mitä saisi olla, which crashed because they took too much of the revenue that the companies had from the sales. The revenue was something like 30 up to 40% of the sales that you'd done there. And then they also have an agreement where the company was not allowed to sell their products as cheap inside their own webshop as they sold it inside MSO. And that was a bit difficult for the companies, because then they had to share the revenue from a product that they sold cheaper that they sold in their own webshop. And then there's, for example, in Amazon, there's a lot of outsourcing possibilities. If you build an Amazon kind of webshop or your own brand and put them up for sale in Amazon in the US, you never see your product if you don't want to. You can send the shipping container directly from the supplier to Amazon warehouse where they sell the products and deliver the products to the customers, and you never have to see the products if you don't want to. There's some risks in that. So, for example, if you lose the container or lose the products in the warehouse, and Amazon also does the customer service if you want to. There's a good training program for Amazon sales if you want to go that. There's a guy called Marko Pyhäjärvi, which holds a training for e-commerce specialists for selling in Amazon with a company that already sells in Amazon. It's two Finnish guys. They sell with 1 million a year, and they have 18 employees. They have their own customer service, but they sell through the outsourcing of Amazon, so they never see their products. The container goes to the warehouse of Amazon, and then they deliver the products. So Marko Pyhäjärvi. I don't remember the website, but it comes up in Google if you search his name. Then there are trends in online business. So you had a lecture about artificial intelligence, right, last week. So that's one trend. So nowadays you usually have to do actions based on the data, but when there's good artificial intelligence inside the webshop platforms, you don't need to do the actions by yourself. The webshop platform does them for you. So for example, if people are landing on your front page, leaving the front page, there may be something wrong. They can look up where the people are going, browsing on the front page, and then put up content from, for example, below, or A and B test the front page and select the better layout for the front page if there's, for example, some mistakes or a lack of information, or there's no products on the area where the people land. And machine learning, so kind of the same stuff. So the e-commerce platform learns what the consumers want in the e-commerce webshop, and then do decisions based on that, or deliver a report or something like that. Then there's already some implementations about the personalization and customization for individuals. So if you go to a webshop, a big brand webshop that you have already browsed, they're going to show products that are most suitable for you. They don't show the same front page for everyone. The front page is personalized and customized for your needs. And that way they can lure you by products that are suitable for you and to the age group and the male or female stuff. So for example, if you want to look up for a personalization kind of stuff, you go to verkkokauppa.com, browse some products, then come back on the next day and see what products they recommend for you, and then it's going to be a lot different than it was the last day. So browse, for example, something that you really wouldn't ever buy, and then they're going to show up the same products or the same product category next day on the front page. Data is going to be utilized for decision making a bit more than it has right now. Last week there was an e-commerce fair in Messukeskus, and there was a guy talking about how people should always base their decisions on data when running a web shop. Usually, when you put up a web shop, you wait for the customers to do some marketing, and then if it starts going, then it's okay, and you're never gonna do anything about the layout or the front page layout anymore, or the payment process or stuff like that. You should always do A and B testing, and then base your decisions on what works best for the customers. That way you get more sales and more money out of the web shop. And you should always do something in the web shop to get it more better and in marketing and also in the layout and user experience. Mobile applications will become common purchasing channels. At the moment, there's only few applications which are, for example, AliExpress, Zooplus. Some companies have their own applications through which you can buy their products, but there's going to be platforms for mobile application e-commerce, and that will bring more web shops to the application marketplace. And marketing will shift more to content and especially videos. This year has already proven that videos are one of the best kind of content for example, Facebook marketing. People who watch the videos are more likely to land on your page than they are from a text-based advertisement. Do you have any questions about the multi-vendor platforms or the trends in online business? Okay, let's go forward. Now we're going to go to the payment market and where we work. The current state of online payments in Finland is the first slide. And the most used payment method online at the moment is web bank payments. And through our service, it's about 90% of all the payments at the moment. Card payments are the second most common. They have about 9%, and invoice and partial payments are third, also known as installment. They have around 1.5% of all the payments through our service. There's a lot of new payment methods on the market that have come into the market in 1 or 2 years, and they have got users very slowly. The consumers in Finland are very conservative about the new payment methods. For example, mobile pay, there's less than 1% of all the payments done through our service at the moment, even though they have over 400,000 users, but they use the service mostly for peer-to-peer money transferring, not for paying online. But to let you know, you can pay your stuff online with mobile pay if you want to, and the web shop uses mobile pay as a payment method. Cryptocurrencies are a payment method for certain groups. Some web shops have Bitcoin as a payment method, and there was a big hype in past 6 months or about a year that they're going to become more common, but they didn't get that much business users, and for example, services like us, they didn't implement Bitcoin as payment method because of the regulations of the banks, and that's why some of the customers that want to use Bitcoin, the businesses that want to use Bitcoin, didn't get it as a payment method. If you want to get Bitcoin as a payment method, you have to do the integration of BitPay or a similar payment method by yourself, and that's not that easy, and there's not that much users with the cryptocurrencies yet. We did a research with DIPS of what kind of payment methods people used in the past 3 months, and it's divided between total and mobile. This is for Finnish customers or consumers, and as you can see, internet banking is the most common payment method. Why it's there's a gap between the total and the mobile is because the Finnish banks do not support online mobile devices that well yet. Some banks do, for example, Nordea is a very good example in that they have their mobile credential application which you can use for identifying yourself in the web shop. But for most of the banks, they still use the bank credential card, which is not that good in user experience when using a mobile. Cards are second, 56% used that for online payments, invoice 33%, and then PayPal is with 28%. PayPal is mostly used by Finnish to foreign web shops. There's not that many web shops that are using PayPal as a payment method in Finland for the Finnish market. They usually only have it if they sell also to out of Finland. Installments, 10%, cash on delivery, 8%, and mobile payment methods with 4% and 5% with the mobile. And how it's divided between the Nordics, all the payment methods. If you look up for the preferred payment method in a year, and then compare it to the other countries. Finland is a very unusual market because the internet banking is the most used payment method. In every other Nordic country, the card is the most used payment method at the moment. Swedish buy more with invoice, and that's mainly because of Klarna. So Klarna is an invoice and partial payment provider for that was founded in Sweden, and it gained a lot of companies that use it, and the consumers like it there more than they like it here in Finland. And Denmark, why the card share is so huge compared to the other payments is because of the organization that owns Petra as well, Nets. They have their own card, and every person in Denmark, not depending on the bank, they have the same card, Dankort, which is a Danish bank card. Norway, they use card as well, more than other payment methods. And then there's also, if you look up for the whole graph, there's some payment methods that are not used in Finland. For example, Norway has a payment method called Vipps, and Sweden has a payment method called Swish, which are this kind of account-to-account payment methods. So, for example, Swish uses their service in the same way as mobile pay, but you store your bank account there, not your card, and then you pay through the Swish application from your bank account to the company's bank account that you're buying your stuff from. Any questions about those graphs? Good. And why Finns pay as they pay? They think that the, or when we did the survey, the answer that internet banking is the easiest, or 56% of the payment said that. The answers said that. They also see internet banking as safe, but actually internet banking is not that safe when you're buying online. If the company that you buy your stuff from, for example, Anttila, is one of the good examples. If you pay through internet banking and you don't get the stuff that you ordered, then the company goes bankrupt. You're not going to get your money back from the bank. But if you use card, you always get the money back from the card company. And cards are the most safest payment method. And luckily, the people who answered this questionnaire knew that. So 62% of the people who answered said that the card is safest. Why people use invoice? It's built later, so you always see the product usually first when you get the bill. So you know that the products are in good condition, and if you get the bill, you pay it, and if the products are not in good condition, you can send them back and you don't have to pay the bill, and you have not transferred any money during that purchasing and returning process. But for example, if you pay by card, the company gets your money and then you return the product, and then they have to refund the money, so there's always transactions done if it's not with invoice or partial payments. Then we're going to go back to the same kind of graphs. This is comparison between the payment methods in Finland with the mobile and the total payments. So as I said, the internet banking is not that easy with the mobile devices, and for example, card payments have a bit more share on the pie than they have in the total, because for example, applications usually required you to store your card information there, and always when you buy with the card you have stored in the application or the website, and usually it's more easier to pay by card with your phone than it's with internet banking. PayPal has also a bit more users in the mobile environment. Okay, then we're going to go to the new payment methods that there are in the market at the moment. They have become in the market about 1.5 years. How many of you know MasterPass or use it? Seger, Apple Pay. Is there anybody who has paid with Apple Pay online? Not with the physical payment, but online. Good. I haven't tried that yet. I haven't found a web shop that uses it. Mobile pay. Who has paid with mobile pay online? Great. Pivo. So for people who don't know Pivo, it's a same kind of application as mobile pay is, but it's developed by Osuuspankki, which is the largest bank in Finland. Nordea Pay. Nobody has paid with Nordea Pay. Okay. mobiilimaksu, so you buy a product online and you get the payment inside the invoice of your operator invoice. Siirto. Now I want to see hands. One. Good. Siirto is an account-to-account type of system, the same kind of payment method as mobile pay, but the transfer of the money is from account to account, and it has been hyped a lot during the past year. Aktia Wallet. You have the opiskelijakortti there, student card there. I used it a lot when I still had my opiskelijakortti payment card valid, but now it's not valid anymore, so I don't use it. But it was a good application. Payson. No. So these are the new players that are in the market, and we'll see which of those are going to become the most used. I think it's going to be mobile pay, but when we're going to have the new directive, there's going to be a lot of more players on the payment market for that. Why payment is so important in the web shop? We did a survey which asked why people abandon their shopping cart in a web shop. And 34% said that they have abandoned their shopping cart because there was no preferred payment method in the web shop. 31% of the people who answered the survey said that they have abandoned a shopping cart because of the complicated purchasing process. And these two things include usually the payment method, and that's why payment methods in webshop are really important. 27% said that they have abandoned the shopping cart because the webshop requires the customer to register inside the webshop. How many of you have abandoned a shopping cart because of there was no payment method that you wanted to use? One. The payment purchasing process was too complicated, and the web shop required registering to the web shop. Yeah, so it was other way around as the percentage is here, but taking the user experience in consideration when building a web shop is really important. So if you're ever going to put up a web shop, get back to the slides and see if there's any tips for you. Trends in online payments. Mobile payments have increased a bit, but there's not that much users as there could be. Omnichannel is a nice word. It's kind of integrated user experience between the physical store and the web shop. For example, this is a totally hypothetical example, but for example, if you buy something online and then go to the physical store, they ask your email and they put out the email on a tablet, and they see what you have bought, and then they ask, what would you like to buy as an extra, or they try to know what you want to buy from the physical store. That is kind of an omnichannel model. There's not that many implementation for the omnichannel yet, but they say that it's the next big thing on online and physical store integration. Identification of a returning customer based on device or cookies or stuff like that, that's a really big trend in online payments. For example, we have a functionality called Remember Me, in which if you pay by card, you can store your card information to the fields that you fill in the card credentials, and then when you go back to a web shop which uses our service and you buy with card, you can use the store card inside the service. Yes? Yeah. It's safe. If the web shop is not hacked, so if it's a trustworthy web shop that the company upkeeps regularly and updates regularly, it's very, very unlikely that your card information is gonna go to the wrong hands. If you save your card information, it's usually saved in the payment service provider, not the web shop. So you don't really store your card in the web shop. It's for the payment service provider. And for example, if you store the card inside our service, we only get like a token. So it's not the whole information of the card. So you usually have to put your CVC number in the field that you put in your card information. And then it's tokenized through our service, so we don't get the number. It's only inside the system and the Visa or MasterCard environment. So it's safe. It's not that risky. But for example, a company called Musti & Mirri, they had a breach some time ago. They saw it after the hackers had planted the same kind of looking card information. This window where you put your card information, and it was exactly the same, but you could see it in the URL of the web shop. When you filled in the information, there was about five persons that lost their card information to the hackers. But it's possible that there are this kind of things where you can lose your card information, but it's really, really uncommon. Yeah, so identification on the cookies or the device. Then one-click payments are one that are trending at the moment. For example, Alipay, PayPal Express, MasterPass are these kind of payment methods. So when you buy products and choose, for example, MasterPass, they get your information from the MasterPass database, and you don't have to fill any information in the web shop. So you just need to click MasterPass, identify yourself, and click pay, and the purchase process is done. Then there's payment methods that increase conversion. Conversion means that more customers buy through the web shop through a percentage of the visitors in the web shop. And this kind of payment service are, for example, Klarna Checkout, where you need to fill in your email and postal number, and then they fetch the data. If you have bought something with Klarna on your past purchase, and then when you go and do the purchase, they already send a bill before you actually choose any payment method. So that increases conversion, but it may be harmful for the web shop if the consumer feels that they have been scammed, or they really didn't feel that they already did the purchase. But they're like these kind of payment methods where you really don't see that you have already bought something before it's kind of too late. Then overlay payment methods. There has been a lot of discussion in the few months because HSL won the Trustly won the HSL payment method kind of service provider competition, and they use overlay payment methods. What's an overlay payment method? It's a service which fill in the information that you give to the service through an API in the bank. So you don't really do an online bank payment. You do a account transfer through an API of the service provider. So for example, you fill in your OP credentials inside the Trustly service, and then they log in to the bank, your bank account, and do the transfer. And it's cheaper, but it's not allowed yet. But when the new payment service directive comes, it's allowed then. And then payment methods of large corporations, such as Amazon Pay, Google Pay, Apple Pay, they have been trending and become more common as a payment method. Okay, so now to the interesting stuff. Payment Service Directive 2, acronym PSD2. PSD2 is a directive which fully comes to use in 2019, in the autumn of 2019. And it requires the banks to open their APIs for third parties. And what this does is it's going to lower the costs of the third party providers of the payment service that they provide, and also improve the customer experience of the payment process. The APIs that are required to be opened at the moment are the payment service API and the account information API. The payment service API means that the company like us, we can initiate a bank transfer from your bank account if you give a permit to that. And the account information API allows the third party to fetch information from your bank account to needs that they want to use your account information. So at the moment, if you do an online bank payment contract directly with the bank, it's usually 28 to 40 cents per payment. And banks are allowed to price it as they want. They don't have any regulation on that. But if you do a bank transfer, it's usually Nordea charges the list price is 18 cents. And other banks have priced that a bit lower. So it's probably going to lower the costs of third-party payment service providers about 50%, which is a lot of money. And because of that, there's going to be more competition. There are going to be startups which use the bank APIs for payment services. But of course, companies like us, which have done the regular web bank payments, we're going to probably do our own services, which are going to include the payment service API payment methods as well. At the moment, the APIs are not open yet. They're going to be opened in the fall of 2019, but the directive has come in kind of in law in steps. And for example, at the moment, there's it's not allowed to take an additional fee for most common payment methods. For example, if you buy something from a company which operates in the EU, and you want to buy something with Visa or MasterCard, and they say that you have to pay extra if you use Visa or MasterCard, that's not allowed anymore. So you can call them and say, hey, you're gonna take that from me. You have to sell the products in the same price as you would sell them with other payment methods, and that's because of the new payment service directive. So what possible services are gonna come with the, or what services are possible through the new payment service directive? Account-to-account payments are gonna get more common. There's Siirto, which is already in use, but it uses the same infrastructure as Nosto and Otto ATMs at the moment. So it's not based on the PSD2, that's their own project on that, but the account PSD2 will make it possible to do account-to-account payments without using any already based infrastructure. Then there's going to be bankless payments. So for example, a startup could set up an application which includes all the accounts that you have for different banks. So for example, they have Sbanki, Nordea, and OP bank accounts, and then when you go online and pay, you don't have to select a bank payment. You select the application and choose the account you want to use for the payment from the application and not from the web shop as it is at the moment. So you click on the application payment method and then pay through the application. Then at the moment, if you have a company that offers loans, you have to do a credit check through a company that has the database of the credibility of consumers. But if you want to, you can access the information of a person's account through an API. So for example, the company that offers the loan can check if there's any payments to an online casino, if there's payments for different loan companies or companies that have offered the loans, and then they can base the if they offered the loan on those informations, as not as to the credit check of the which is asiakastieto or luottotietohaku at the moment, and it's also cheaper for the company to get the information through an API than it's with the paid service to luottotietohaku. Then there's going to be a lot of probably more mobile bank services, for example, collective mobile bank for all your banking needs. So you can add all the banks through to an application and do transfers for yourself inside there and pay bills through that. So the role of your own bank is going to be less visible, hopefully in the future. And then there's going to probably going to be more mobile wallets which use the account-to-account payments, or then you can store your card there, but actually the payment is going to go through the account-to-account payment service through the API. And consumers are going to choose the services that win. The PSD2 is very exciting for the collective PSPs as Paytrail, because it's going to lower the price. We're going to get higher margin. Of course, we're going to probably have to put our own costs down, because there's going to be a lot of service providers that are going to use the PSD2 APIs. And then for the consumers, there's a lot of possibilities of easing the banking or easing the payments for your convenience. Hopefully, they will become common right after the PSD2 comes in use in 2019. Do you have any questions about the PSD2? No. So in short, that's the market for the payment services and what PSD2 is going to bring. There's some references. You can go and check those out. And that's my dog at the office. Thank you for participating. I always wanted to do that. Thank you. Yes. You can have it already if you want.
Really?
Yeah, you can. For example, in Android phones, there's this NFC chip. If you want to, you can get it from China if you want to and put it under your skin and code the same. Or for example, when you buy with an Android phone, it identifies the code of the payment and you can use the same or copy the same NFC chip and use it under your skin if you want to. And there's some people who already have that and use it as a payment method. Of course, it doesn't work with all the payment terminals, so in Finland it's not going to be that soon that everybody is going to have it, but if you want to, you can already have it, and maybe someday everybody will have it, but the payment terminals don't support that kind of payment methods yet. And of course, you can only pay up to 50 euros with that kind of payment methods. But someday, maybe. Any other questions? No. Okay. Thank you. Kiitoksia.